Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to do part of our little mini-series, God's Sovereignty and Human Responsibility. And this week, we're going to focus on this idea of God, before the foundation of time, choosing to save people, and God choosing those people that he knew down the corridors of time would turn and choose God. Well, with that hot topic, because it's a hot one, we've got Jovan Stojcetrovic, Director of Project Learning here in Zagreb, Croatia. And Jovan, here's the question. Okay? You can't get around the word predestination in the Bible. Would you agree?
I agree.
You see it in Romans, you see it in Ephesians, right? And briefly, just for the listening audience, just explain to them, what does predestination mean?
Predestination is that God, before time, before the creation of the world, choose, predestined who he will save.
Okay.
Those who he will save.
Good. And again, you can't get around that. It's very clear. Now, the question is, who are those people God has predestined? Now, there are two theories. One, God has predestined people not based on any merit of theirs, not based on the fact that in time and history they would turn and choose God. Those people say God made that choice just out of his love and has nothing to do with man. Others say that God made the choice to choose somebody based upon the fact that God knew that they would choose him. Jovan, where do you land on this?
I land on the first thought, which you said, that God, without any human merits, sovereignly in his grace and power, choose without any human effort to save those whom he want to save.
Well, wait a second, Jovan. No, I'm not sure I agree with that, somebody would say. Because, no. God, that's not fair. You know, humans have the choice. Humans have the right. God didn't make us as robots. So God chose those he knew that would choose him. Your thoughts?
God definitely knew who will choose him because first he chose them. But that doesn't mean that without God, we can choose, actually. For example, I will woke up one day, I read the Bible, I never read before, and just suddenly, oh, God, I want God. I understood everything, not because of me, because, as we know, we come to this world spiritually dead, and we cannot understand God, nor even have desire to seek God. So everything is from God.
From God. So it's interesting, in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul really makes this, it makes an interesting case here. And again, let's see what he has to say and let's see how we can interpret this. He says here in chapter 1, verse 4, that he, God, chose us in him before the creation of the world. Why? To be holy and blameless in his sight. In other words, to be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ, right? In love, two key words, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. How? Through Jesus Christ. And therefore, it was in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious name. What does that verse say to you?
That verse says that God is Trinity. We know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So whole Trinity works in our salvation. Because of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, Holy Spirit can work on us to understand that that great sacrifice, that great thing which Jesus has done for us. So the whole Trinity worked in us in order we to understand that what God had done and decided before the creation of the world for us.
Very good. Now, it's very interesting. You mentioned the Trinity and salvation. Here in Ephesians 1, that's exactly it. We see in verse 4, it says that he, God the Father, made the choice. When was that?
Before the creation of the world.
Before the foundation of time. God the Son, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. God the Son, 2,000 years ago, went to the cross for those whom God the Father had chosen when? Before the foundation of time. And then we see that in verse 13, we were included in Christ when we heard the word of truth. We then were able to believe the gospel of salvation, and we were marked or sealed with God the Holy Spirit, who is our deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So do you see, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, God the Father made the choice to save his people when? Before?
Foundation of time.
2,000 years ago, God the Son went to the cross to redeem those who had been chosen by the Father. And then when we hear the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, God the Holy Spirit comes in us, lives in us, is a deposit guaranteeing our salvation for those whom the Father has chosen, those whom the Son has redeemed. He is the mark, the seal of our salvation. So you see, as you correctly said, the Trinity at work. But here's my question, Yola. Could it not be that the Father chose those he knew would choose him? Could it not be that the Son went to the cross to redeem those he knew who would choose the Father? Would it not be that the Holy Spirit made the decision to come and seal and live within those people whom he knew would make the choice for God?
Well, that is impossible possibility. That means that
impossible possibility. Now you're talking seminary talk. Let me hear it.
Because that means that God is not sovereign. That means that the man have ability to accept or to reject God's will. For salvation, I'm speaking now.
Uh-huh, okay.
That means that basically Satan was right in the garden. Oh, you can be gods. That means that for whatever we do, even either right or wrong, that can get us closer to, we will evolve. And now we are what Satan wants, gods. Basically, we are in rebellion. We are spiritually dead and we cannot choose God if he does not breathe life in us, spiritual life, to understand the Holy Spirit, to illumine our mind, to understand the message of the gospel.
Okay. And I would agree with what you're saying, because that's what scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's very interesting. The Apostle Paul says in verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. In fact, they are foolishness to him. So an unregenerate person, a person who is of the flesh, living by the sin nature, dominated by the sin nature, led by the sin nature, cannot understand truth. Not only does he not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, they're also considered foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Key. Not only will he not, he cannot. Why? Because he is spiritually discerned, spiritually dead. That's what scripture says in First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And then in Romans chapter 3, again, you just combine that same writer. Paul says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. And then again, Paul says in chapter 8 of Romans, in verse 7, he says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. In fact, those controlled by the sin nature cannot please God. So why did I share those three verses? Well, it's real simple. For those who say God made a sovereign choice before the foundation of time to choose people based upon those that he knew would choose him. Well, wait a second. We just read scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:14. A man will not choose God because he cannot. God is foolishness to him because he's dead to God in God's realm. Romans 3, Paul compounds it and says, there's no one righteous in God's sight. No, not one. No one who seeks God. Paul goes on to say in Romans 8, verse 7, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God. It cannot submit to God. And it will not please God. So how could God make a choice in advance based upon seeing someone who would make the choice for him? Because these three verses say what, Yolan?
That is impossible. God, man does not seek God. God need to seek man to be saved.
So in other words, God is the first cause, not man.
Yes.
God is the, again, to say that God makes the choice of somebody based upon the fact that that person would first choose God, that makes God what?
God is not sovereign. He's depending on the choice of men.
There you go. He's second cause. Man is first cause. That's a problem. That is not the God of the Bible. Would you agree with that?
I agree.
So, basically then, as scripture is clear, we come into this world spiritually what?
Death.
Which means?
We're separated from God. And from his love and everything, which all the blessings which he gives.
And we're on a highway to?
To the hell.
Now, what about, can we do something to change that?
Unfortunately, we cannot do. Good works don't work.
And we certainly can't please God, because that's what Romans 8, chapter 9 says, right? We cannot please God. Okay, I'm sorry, verse 8. We can't please God. In fact, the idea of God is foolishness to us. We're not going to choose God. So what did God have to do?
God have to punish, because he's just and righteous. He's perfect judge. And he cannot overlook our sin. Even for one sin, he need to punish. And the punishment for sin, we said, is death, eternal damnation, hell.
And good works?
Good works does not work with God. Because no matter what we can do, we cannot impress God.
But the good news is?
The good news is that God is love. That means that he provided substitute for us. And that substitute is God the Son, who was placed on the cross. And he was punished for our sins. And the punishment for our sins was death. So Jesus died. 3 days later, he rose. He overcome sin and death for us. And what we need to do, we actually can do something after all this God has done previously to us. After our eyes are open, we need to turn from the wrong thinking that we can satisfy God with human efforts and come to him, to God, and accept his gift of grace and salvation.
But we cannot come to God, turn to God, unless God first, boom, makes us alive, draws us by his spirit, makes us alive, for us to then to be able to say, aha, yes. Of course, right?
Definitely, yes.
And he does that to those he has chosen for the foundation of time.
Amen.
We'll talk more about that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics with our guest, Jovan Stojcevic, and talking about this real hot topic of, okay, God chooses before the foundation of time, but on which basis? Does God choose merely out of his sovereign choice and pure love, regardless of us, or does God choose because he knows we would first make the choice on him? And as we discuss, Jovan, what did we land on biblically?
We said that everything depends on God's sovereignty and his decision. Only on him is not human desire or through human effort that we come through God and are saved.
Well, and again, you use the key word human desire. In Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul made that very clear. He said, "It verse 16, it does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy." That's why God gets all the glory. Because again, we see in Scripture, we've looked at some verses, first part of the show. Again, a person who does not have the Spirit of God in them, like, will never make the choice for God, cannot make the choice for God, laughs at the idea of God, cannot please God, in fact, is hostile to God. So God, knowing that in advance, had a choice. Choose no one, because no one was going to choose him, or choose people based purely on his what?
Sovereignty
and love and grace and mercy. Oh, wait a second, Andrew. I'm not sure about that, because doesn't God choose, and I've heard people say this, God makes the sovereign choice. Yovan, we'll talk about you. God made the choice to choose you before the foundation of time because God knew that there would be a day that you would make the choice for him. Okay? Well, if that's the case, or better yet, people say God, Christ died for everybody, okay? And, well, if that's the case, wait a second, is everybody go to heaven?
No.
Well, wait a minute, I thought Christ died for everybody.
He died for everybody who are chosen and predestined by God.
Okay, well, that's not fair, Yovan, because I think that, again, someone will say, Christ died for everybody, okay? God made the choice to send Christ. Christ made the choice to die for everybody, and then God chose those he knew would choose what Christ did. It sounds confusing, doesn't it?
Very confusing.
Because it is confusing. Let's break it down real simple, okay? We saw in Ephesians 1, God the Father makes the sovereign choice before the foundation of time to choose his people. That is called what?
Love, grace, right. Sovereignty of God. Yeah,
right, predestination, right?
Predestination, yeah.
Okay. We also saw Ephesians 1, verse 7, Christ made the choice to come and redeem those who had been chosen. And then we saw in chapter 1, verse 13 of Ephesians, God the Holy Spirit made the choice to come and seal those who had been chosen, those whom Christ had redeemed. Now, if Christ died for everybody, and if not everybody goes to heaven, well, we got a little bit of a problem here. If Christ supposedly died for everybody and yet not everybody goes to heaven, well, that means Christ's death wasn't sufficient. And that's called heresy, right? Because we know in Hebrews 10, it says he died once for all time, for his people. Well, for those who say that Christ died for everyone, and yet not everyone goes to heaven, what they're basically saying is Christ died for everyone. He provided that covering of salvation, of potential salvation. But then it's up to each individual person to either choose to accept what Christ did or not choose. Does that make sense? Well, for those who do not choose, let's use this illustration. Let's pretend Christ died for everybody. Not to secure their salvation, but rather to provide the potential for salvation, they say. And let's say somebody makes the choice to reject Christ. What is that called?
Also, it's heresy.
Well, what is it called to reject Christ? It begins with an S.
Sin.
There you go. Good. Okay. Well, wait a second. If Christ supposedly died for everybody, and somebody says no to Christ, that's called sin. What is the punishment for sin?
Death.
Hell.
Hell.
Well, wait a second, Yovan. I thought Christ died for everybody. I thought he paid for all sin. What is that rejection of Christ called?
sin.
Then why, if Christ supposedly died for all sin, didn't he cover that sin also?
Yes. But in that system, Pastor Andrew, people believe that not people only who reject God can go to hell, but even those who choose God, because they can change their mind during their life. And that is why they can go again to hell. So maybe if somebody accepted Jesus, but then something happened in life and they changed their mind, you know, we don't want to go in heaven. And
but so, here's my question. I thought Christ died for all sins for all people. Then why would even rejection of Christ after his resurrection, why would rejection cause somebody to go to hell? I thought he paid for all sin.
He paid, but humans want to feel important. So they think, you know, that is like marriage today. Some people get married, everything is great. But then, you know, they think God didn't choose that person for them. Basically, they make the wrong choice. So it's same with God. So why not find somebody else or some other satisfaction in life? So basically, if it's on human, based on human decision, it can be the salvation achieved through human choice or rejected by human choice.
If Christ died for everybody, then it's one of two things. Either everybody goes to heaven, or B, those who don't go to heaven, who rejected what Christ did, have the right to complain and say, that's not fair, I thought you died for all sin. You see how crazy it is? Let's let Scripture tell us who Christ died for. In Matthew chapter 1, you guys know the story of the birth narrative of Jesus. And the angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, it's going to be an incredible, incredible birth. It's going to be a Holy Spirit, supernatural pregnancy. And by the way, you're going to call this child Jesus? Verse 21, because he will save, key word, his people from their sins. Not all people. His people. Those chosen by the Father before the foundation of time, Ephesians 1, verse 4. Those redeemed by the Son, Ephesians 1, 7, are his people. Ephesians 1:13, God the Holy Spirit comes and dwells and seals in those people who have been redeemed by the Son and chosen by the Father. Interesting, in Matthew 25, Jesus gives us a very nice illustration of humanity. He breaks them up into two groups. He calls one group the sheep. He calls the other group the goats. Now, what happened to the goats, Jovan?
Goats are not going to be with the sheep.
Where are the goats going?
Goats are going to hell.
That's what Jesus said. Not my words. It's what Jesus says. You can read it, Matthew 25. Who's going to heaven?
Sheep.
The sheep. Who are the sheep?
The chosen and the predestined believers.
Interestingly, in John chapter 10, Jesus tells us who the sheep are. Verse 14. Or verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep and the goats.
Sheep.
Just the sheep.
Just the sheep.
Interesting. Jesus, you will name him Jesus, Matthew 1:21. He will save all people or his people.
His people.
From their sins. Who are his people?
The sheep.
Not the goats.
Not the goats.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Over in verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. He says, I give them eternal life. That's because they were chosen by the Father before the foundation of time. And the way that we as his sheep can hear his voice is that God the Holy Spirit quickens our spirit, opens our eyes, opens our minds to be able to hear the voice of Christ, to understand the claims of Christ, to understand the sacrifice of Christ, to understand who Christ is and what he's done for us. Not based on us turning and choosing God, because we can't. Those who are dead to God cannot choose God. They will not, they cannot, they're hostile to God. But Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep follow me. I know them and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. He says, my Father who has given the sheep to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then Jesus says, I and the Father are one. So what does Scripture say? The Father made a choice before the foundation of time to choose the sheep of the pen, those to be saved. God the Son made a choice going to that cross to die for his people, the chosen sheep. Through his death and resurrection, and then ascension into heaven, the Father and Son sent God the Holy Spirit to this earth to draw and woo the sheep to the true shepherd. And the sheep cannot choose the shepherd. The sheep have been chosen by the shepherd. And therefore, the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. They know the shepherd, and they follow the shepherd. They don't reject the shepherd. They can't choose the shepherd. The shepherd has chosen them. They don't reject the shepherd because they are saved by the shepherd. And no one or nothing can snap the sheep out of the shepherd's hand. Amen?
Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.